This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, December 12th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal in New York. When companies go public, they have a choice to make: the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. For tech, NASDAQ was long the go-to, but today the two exchanges battle it out for major IPOs, and they compete for ratings. Our exchanges reporter, Alexander Osipovich, will explain who came out on top this year and how tech IPOs factor in. But first, let's check some headlines. You know that iconic Volkswagen bus? Well, it's getting a 21st century makeover. Porsche SE, which houses Volkswagen, Audi, and Porsche, has acquired a minority stake in the self-driving sensor startup Aiva. It's a company that makes LiDAR sensors, and they help cars drive autonomously by bouncing lasers off of objects to create a 3D view of the world. As part of the deal, they're planning to make autonomous taxis by putting Aiva sensors on Volkswagen's ID Buzz buses. That's an electric version of those iconic buses that would then be able to drive themselves. This is just Porsche's latest investment in the autonomous driving sector. The company's made several other moves this year alone. So, self-driving cars are another step closer to hitting a street near you. And staying in Germany, Chinese telecom giant Huawei is coming to Europe's largest economy, despite local lawmakers' attempts to bar it. Mobile operator Telefonica SA has announced that it will use equipment from both Huawei and Nokia to build part of the country's 5G infrastructure. It's the first public commitment to Huawei equipment in Germany, and the decision is a political one. The U.S. has pushed for its allies to ban Huawei over concerns that China could use its equipment for espionage. The German administration recently decided not to do that, but discussions about regulations are still ongoing, and there's a chance lawmakers could end up shutting Huawei out of the country anyway. . 2019 has been, for better or for worse, the year of the tech unicorn IPO. Unicorns are those no longer so rare privately held startup companies valued at over $1 billion. When these startups go public in the U.S., most of them have a choice to make. Do they want to ring the bell on the New York Stock Exchange, or do they want their name in lights on the huge NASDAQ billboard in Times Square? For the past decade or so, the New York Stock Exchange has had a leg up, but new data shows that the tide might be turning in favor of the NASDAQ. Here to explain is reporter Alexander Osipovich. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so first things first, New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, 10 seconds or less. What's the difference?
It's a little bit like Coke versus Pepsi. There's not a huge difference. A lot of it is actually tied up with brand. The New York Stock Exchange is old and prestigious. NASDAQ is newer and has historically been a bit more focused on technology.
Exactly. So NASDAQ really became synonymous with technology IPOs in the 1990s and 80s and 90s, right?
Yes, that's right. For a long time, the New York Stock Exchange wouldn't actually touch tech IPOs because it had rules which essentially said a company has to make money and be profitable to list on the NYSE. And that is not true of a lot of tech startups. And so NASDAQ kind of lucked out. And in the 80s and 90s, it got some companies like Apple and Amazon that at the time were not making a lot of money. In fact, were losing money. And they turned into huge companies. In fact, the world's largest companies. And it helped build out NASDAQ's franchise and made it a genuine alternative to the NYSE.
And it seems like, looking at some of these numbers, that has changed for the NYSE. They're not so adverse to tech companies as they used to be?
Exactly. So around a decade ago, the NYSE eased its rules regarding how profitable companies had to be to list there. And so right now, it's not really that different from the NASDAQ in that respect.
It seems like right now they're also kind of fighting a little bit over these big tech companies that we've seen start up recently. What are they trying to offer them to get them on board?
So they're always fighting. They fight over every major IPO, and they've offered various incentives to the bigger companies. Some of these are a bit silly. They involve bell-ringing ceremonies at the New York Stock Exchange's historic building downtown. NASDAQ will offer parties at these new facilities built in its Times Square headquarters and will give you the opportunity to display the company's logo on its billboard on Times Square. There's different kinds of advertising and branding opportunities. And, you know, there's also various behind-the-scenes services that the exchanges will provide, like the ability to host earnings calls and things like that and provide, you know, information to investors. There's a lot of stuff like that that goes on behind the scenes, too.
For people who listen to us because they're super interested in tech and not so much interested in exchanges, can you just give us a little Exchange 101? What do the NYSE and NASDAQ get out of having these big companies on their listings?
Well, number one, any company listed on exchange has to pay a listing fee to the exchange once a year. NYSE charges more for listings than NASDAQ does. For the biggest companies, the New York Stock Exchange will make $500,000 a year from its listed companies. That's only for the biggest ones by market cap. However, there are also some subtle benefits. If a listed company goes to a particular exchange, then that does tend to boost the trading volumes at that exchange, and that allows them to make money from transaction fees. Every time a trade happens on an exchange, the exchange will collect a little bit of money from that.
There have been some tech companies that have had a bit of missteps, though. And so the bragging rights kind of went in the opposite direction. I'm thinking about Facebook in 2012. Can you take us back there? What happened there?
Yes, Facebook was a bungled IPO. There were some glitches that really threw things off the rails when Facebook tried to go public in May 2012. And ultimately, it was NASDAQ's fault. NASDAQ paid out tens of millions of dollars in settlements over this. What happened was that basically there was a ton of interest in Facebook, and NASDAQ's systems were sort of overloaded by that. They basically had this feature, and this is not unique to NASDAQ, but essentially during an IPO, an exchange will try to figure out what's the price that will clear all these trades and have a maximum size initial trade. And that's the first price that you hear about when something starts trading. NASDAQ systems kept getting new orders going in and in. And so they couldn't close and come up with that system because they were designed to reset and essentially, you know, wait for all the orders to come in, come up with a price and go. But they couldn't do that because so many orders were coming in. And everybody was very confused by it. It ended up being a big communications debacle, much as anything else, because it took them a few hours to go and tell everyone in the street whether their trades had been executed. So a lot of people were upset with NASDAQ after that, and it really hurt NASDAQ's business for a few years.
But they've come back from that. What have they done since 2012 to turn the tides?
There have been a number of things. For one thing, NASDAQ has a new CEO. There are a lot of fresh faces there. And I believe that behind the scenes, they did a lot of work to rebuild their relationship with the banks, because the banks advising the big IPOs have a lot of say in determining what exchange the IPO will go to. They also did this thing where it used to be that IPOs at NASDAQ were handled by their technology team, which is actually based in Maryland, even though the sort of the ceremonial part of the IPO happens in New York. NASDAQ actually set up this desk where there's this a guy who's a NASDAQ employee sits and in front of some big screens that show the buy orders and sell orders coming in and what the expected price is like to be. And so an issuer, a company going public, will have its executives there and they'll be able to stand around and watch what he's doing and talk to this NASDAQ employee about what's happening. And I think that's a little bit of an element of NASDAQ to take what the New York Stock Exchange does and graft it onto its system, because the New York Stock Exchange has a trading floor and the IPO process there is run by humans who are wearing these kind of funny jackets and you can see what's going on there. NASDAQ had a bit more of a anonymous, you know, technology-driven approach, and they tried to add what they call, the human element to it.
We've had a number of big IPOs that were supposed to launch this year, not launch. What kind of impact does that have on exchange ratings?
Absolutely right. This was supposed to be a blockbuster year for IPOs, and there were some big ones like Uber and Lyft. But then there were some IPOs that didn't go off as well as expected, and there was a bit of a sense that, oh, maybe some of these private companies, these unicorns, are overvalued, and now is not the best time to go public. Kind of exhibit A there is WeWork. The exchanges, I know, were hoping for a big year for IPOs. I think they were a bit disappointed they didn't come off this year. But they are hoping that at least the first half of 2020, there are going to be some big ones. Some of the companies that are waiting in the wings here that people talk about are Airbnb and Palantir, which is a sort of a high-tech surveillance data mining company that is backed by Peter Thiel.
So in your article, I thought it was interesting, some of the people at NYSE you were speaking to were kind of pushing back against this idea that NASDAQ had a better year and saying, well, it depends on how you calculate it. What can we see coming into next year in the future? What are we looking at in terms of how these two giants are going to go head to head?
Well, there are some new elements. For starters, the traditional metric everybody's always looked at for years and years has been capital raised in IPOs. How many billions of dollars worth of new capital was raised by companies that listed on your exchange? The problem is that there are a few new things going on which don't quite fit into that paradigm, in particular, direct listings. This is the process that Spotify used to go public on the NYSE last year, followed by Slack earlier this year. And in a direct listing, the kind that they have available now anyway, a company just takes its shares and lets them float on an exchange. The company doesn't raise new capital when it does that. So Slack was huge. Spotify was huge and didn't count towards this metric that we've been discussing of capital raised in IPO. So it's a little bit unclear how do you count that. So NYSE has been saying that we need to rethink some of these yardsticks. Of course, you know, when you're not doing so well by a certain measure, then you're incentivized to go and look for other measures that make you look better.
So do we expect NASDAQ to follow suit and start doing similar things? Are tech companies coming up with other ways to kind of be on these exchanges?
Yes. NASDAQ would very much like to do a direct listing. This is a very hot topic in Silicon Valley with certain venture capitalists like Bill Gurley from Benchmark being one prominent example, being big fans of the direct listing. The big complaint they have is that when a company goes public in a traditional IPO, it ends up paying a lot of money to the banks and underwriting fees and then leaving money on the table, because essentially what happens in an IPO is the company issues a bunch of shares, sells them to the banks the night before the deal, and the next day the banks will turn around and sell those things on the exchange. And if you have a pop where the stock goes up, then the company is left in a situation where it raised a bunch of money, but then its shares are worth more than it was. And that's seen fairly, I think, as a way of leaving money on the table. With a direct listing, you don't have that problem. The company sells its shares. They do well. Not that they don't, but you don't end up handing so much money to the banks in the process.
So the tech companies are also disrupting the exchanges.
They definitely are. And the exchanges know that this is a growing trend. And so they've been, you can find plenty of information now about direct listings on both the NYSE and NASDAQ website. And they will happily talk to you about it if you're a listed company.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us today. That was great.
Thank you for having me.
And that was your tech news briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.